You'll turn, please, to a couple of places today. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The other is Hebrews chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 13 and Hebrews 11. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word this morning as we preach today. Oh, thank you, God. 1 Corinthians 13, matter of fact, the title of the message today is The Breaker Through. The Breaker Through. Now, that may sound strange, but you'll understand a little bit later. In 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to go to the very last verse, says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, or love. But the greatest of these is what? Charity or love." So the greatest of these is love. Now if you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now faith is," how many of you know faith is? Faith is right now. Faith is substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Is there anybody in the house that knows you have faith? How many of you know you have faith in God and what He can do? Amen? Now faith is. Now I want you to go to verse 32 of chapter 11, verse 32. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and of the prophets." In other words, there's so many heroes of faith. He said, there's no way we can put them all in here. And then you go to verse 38. "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Some of us would get discouraged if we didn't receive the promise when we think we should. Could you say amen with me today? "But God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." In other words, some of the things they expect back then, we've seen and enjoyed some of the promises made in the Old Testament through prophecy. But also, there's some of the prophecy that the Old Testament heroes of faith, along with us, are going to enjoy at the same time. A lot of things are ahead for us. Anybody excited about Jesus and where He's taking you? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your marvelous grace. Thank You for the anointing in this house. We thank You for moving by Your Spirit. And Lord, we thank You for a Word that is relevant. It's relevant to every generation. We thank You for a Word that You've inspired that will never change. But again today, we thank You that this Word will change us. And that's what we're here for today, is to worship You and to be changed by Your Word and Your Spirit. We commit this time into Your hand. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated. The breaker through. You know, it's interesting how God inspired the Word and then put it all together for our benefit. Yet too many times we read the Word and don't take time to think about what we've read. Anybody ever done that besides me? Kind of get in a routine and you read it, but you don't really get what God's trying to say to you. Lord, help us today. Amen. We gain knowledge and can even memorize Scripture. But the understanding of what we've read and memorized sometimes escapes us. My prayer is that as we read Scripture today, and as I preach the Word of God, the Lord Himself, through the help of the Holy Spirit, will speak to us and give us understanding. I want to say the title again, The Breaker Through. The Breaker Through. Brother Brackett, did you mess up? Did you mean the breakthrough? Anybody ever had a breakthrough? No, I'm correct. The Breaker Through. You see, the title of this message may sound a little strange. Shake your head if you know it sounds strange. Amen? But the title is the meaning of a man's name. But before we go there, I want you to notice with me a few things about 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 and 14. First of all, 1 Corinthians 12 begins talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And then it goes to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it teaches us, and we receive instruction about the use of the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 14. So chapter 12 and chapter 14 both talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in between those two chapters, the Word teaches us about love. So He's talking about the supernatural work of the gifts of the Spirit, and then right in the middle of that, He throws in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Also, Chapter 13 teaches what love is not. Remember, we talked about that. By the way, the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit always operate out of love and through love. Somebody's trying to operate in arrogance or try to get their own point across, it's not God. Can you say amen to that? It operates in love. Chapter 13 closes with the mention of three things that are the most enduring. And those three things, that it says, will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. I think we have a little plaque in our house and somewhere hanging on the wall that says, the greatest of these is faith, hope, and love. So we began January with last week's message, More Than Words. Love is really more than words. We can tell anybody we want to, we love them. But love is more than words. A whole lot more. But today I want to preach about faith. Not so much trying to explain faith, but looking at a man's life which demonstrated faith when all the odds were against him. The man's name was Jephthah. 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 His word means, and it was in Hebrews 11 and I think verse 32, listed with the heroes of faith. Jephthah's name means opener. Who God sets free. It means who God sets free. It also means the breaker through. Jephthah. So as we begin this morning, point number one is this. God planned Jephthah's future while knowing his past. Anybody want to shout on that a little bit? How many of you know God knows your past? Hallelujah. How many of you know He's got a plan for your future? Glory to God. Jephthah's father was Gilead. Gilead had an affair with a prostitute, and that prostitute gave birth to Jephthah. Gilead's wife had other sons by him. Now when Jephthah's brothers grew up, everything changed. Now how many of you know when you grow up, everything does change? It's not a free ride anymore, is it? But when they grow up, everything changed with his brothers and him. His brothers told him, "You are illegitimate. And because your mother was a prostitute, you'll have no part in the inheritance that our father has laid up for us." And because he's a son of a prostitute, they drove Jephthah away. They forced him to leave family. They forced him to leave town. They forced him to leave all the area. From all appearances, if you study his life, it looks like the elders in Gilead, the leaders of Gilead, agreed with Jephthah's brothers. So not only did his brothers say, "You're illegitimate, you're not going to have a part in the inheritance," but other people in the town got on board because he was the son of a prostitute and also approved of him being driven away. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. Now Judges chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot." Of a prostitute. But even as he grew up into adulthood, before he was driven out of his town, before he was forced to leave his family, he was a mighty man of valor. He had proven himself mighty in battle. He had proven himself as a leader. Because of not wanting to share the inheritance of their father, because of the brothers' greed, his brothers got rid of him. How many know greed can get rid of a lot of... Wouldn't it be wonderful if people loved people more than they love money? And some do. Some don't. I wonder how many times over the years his brothers brought up what kind of woman his mother was. Yeah, but your mom, you'll never amount to anything. Your mom was a prostitute. Well, so you did good in battle and you're known as a mighty man of valor. But other than that, your mom's a prostitute. You'll never amount to anything. You wouldn't believe how many children have grown up, and some of you may be sitting here today, who were told you will never amount to anything. Larry Lee, that wrote the book that we're using in our Wednesday night Bible study on prayer, the Lord's Prayer. His daddy used to tell him before his dad got saved that you'll never amount to anything and I'll have to take care of you the rest of your life. But once God got a hold of Larry Lee's life and turned him around, filled him with the Holy Spirit, began to speak to him, he became a pastor of churches and great churches running thousands. Listen, don't you tell somebody what they can't become when God already knows what they can become. And don't you let anybody tell you there's no value in you. There's no worth in you. Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago and showed your value to the Heavenly Father. He revealed your value. My, what kind of woman his mother was. Now, we can't change how we got here. I'm a Bracken. How many of you know I'm a Bracken? My boys sometimes say, Daddy, we're Brackens. I think they're kind of proud of being a Bracken. I kind of like being a Bracken. We can't change how we've got here, but we can decide what we're going to do with our lives. And I think that needs to sink into our spirit today. Jephthah fled from his brothers and ended up in a land called Tob, which is pronounced Tov, T-O-V, Tov. But immediately when he got to that place, that land, men began to follow him. There was something about Jephthah that drew others to him. Matter of fact, the Word teaches us that Jephthah made a name for himself there. So his brothers and others may have driven him out of town, driven him away from his family, but even as though he was in a strange land, he began to build a name for himself. Now the Zondervan Pictorial Dictionary says he was a God-fearing man. Don't tell me that God-fearing people don't go through persecution sometimes. If you really stand up for the Lord, you're going to be opposed by somebody, probably several somebodies along the way. And you're going to be talked about. Turn around and tell somebody, just get used to it. It's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want you to get this. Jephthah had a high sense of justice. And he considered any vow or any promise made to God to be sacred. It's real important that we hear that statement in this message. He considered any vow or promise to God that was made to be sacred. Now I want you to notice Jephthah is mentioned in Hebrews 11 along with the other heroes of faith. Wouldn't it sound good if Leo was mentioned right beside Abel? I'm Leo Bracken. Okay, or Tim. Wouldn't it be great to be listed in the heroes of faith? Or Jeff? He's mentioned in chapter 11. Just think about it. Abel, Enoch. Enoch was not. God took him. Just think about Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Daniel, Gideon, Barak, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Hebrews 11:32 says he's mentioned right beside Samson's name and King David's name. Dear Lord, I mean, wish they'd write a book of heroes of faith about you and put you in the middle of that. But we'd never heard of Jephthah, have we? We've never thought about this man before. The son of a prostitute remembered as a hero of faith. Can you get over that this morning? Isn't that just like God? To take people that we consider the scum of the earth, change their life, put the Holy Spirit in them, and call them to serve Him in His kingdom, and even to preach the gospel. Amen. To me, that's exciting. You know, week after week, we have former drug addicts in here. The only thing they're addicted to now is Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Got some former alcoholics here that are addicted to Jesus. Anybody addicted to Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:38 says the world was not worthy of him. Jephthah, the son of a prostitute. And the scripture says the world wasn't worthy of him. Anybody want to shout besides me today? If you do, go ahead. Go ahead. Hebrews 11:39 says he obtained a good report through faith. So this man we're talking about today, dear Lord, Look how God changed his life and used him. If you're in the congregation, if you're watching by internet or DVD, maybe you were born out of wedlock. Maybe you've struggled with that. God knew before you were born that you were going to be here. And whether you were born out of wedlock or not, God has a plan for your life. Hallelujah. Maybe others have laughed at you. Maybe others have called you names. It could be that you're not proud of your past. But regardless, God has a plan for your future. He knows your past and He still calls to you and to me, and He still calls and He says, walk with me out of your hurt and disappointment into the future I have planned for you. Doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what your background is. It matters that you know Jesus. It matters that you have a relationship with God. It matters that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to be Baptist. You don't have to be Assembly of God. You don't have to be Presbyterian. All you have to do is be born again by the Spirit of God. He takes care of your past. He puts you on a path to fulfill a future that you can enjoy and be blessed in and bless others. Dear Lord, God is such a good God. Such a good God. The Lord's already planned a blessed future for you. Do you know that? He's already planned a blessed future for you, though He knows your past. Well, if God knew what I did, He wouldn't want me. He knows what you did and He still wants you. Come on, give Him a hand for that. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. And He still says, come to me. Hallelujah. The second point is simply faith is what it is. Faith is what it is. Jephthah's brothers, their decision concerning him did not change his decisions concerning his God. Let people make whatever decisions they want. You have to make the decisions in life for yourself. Don't allow their decisions to mess up the right decision you should be making. Hallelujah. Jephthah had faith in God. Son of a prostitute? Doesn't matter. Ridiculed by family, friends, and entire community? Doesn't matter. Are you going to listen to them? Or are you going to listen to His story about His life He gave for you? Jephthah's story began in Judges chapter 10 and it goes through Judges 12 and 7. Israel was in trouble. They once again had quit serving the Lord. And they began to worship other heathen gods. They'd done this over and over again. And God became angry with them. And He turned them over to the Philistines and the Ammonites. After 18 years of being crushed and beaten down, they cried out to God again for deliverance. God's reply to Israel at this time was this: not this time. Matter of fact, the Scripture says in Judges 10:13, I will not deliver you anymore. That's what He told them. Here they are crying out to God, get us out of this mess. God, deliver us. Not going to deliver you anymore. He'd done it over and over again. Judges 10:16 says, God was grieved for the misery of Israel. Though He said, I'm not going to deliver you again. How many of you know God has a heart of love and grace and of compassion? And He's always pouring His heart out to us, even though we may not pour ours out to Him. Wake up the person beside you if they're going to sleep on you. You're getting too warm out there. Amen. Don't want them to miss what God's saying this morning. Now I want you to notice what's happened. Do you remember where Jephthah was from? Gilead. Now I want you to notice what's happening. The elders of Gilead began searching for a man to lead them. They needed somebody to help them and to defeat their enemy. Can you guess who they went to for help? Jephthah. The son of a prostitute that once ran out of town would become their deliverer. Isn't that just like God? God can use who He wants to use. Hallelujah. The prophet Samuel even mentions Jephthah in 1 Samuel 12:11. And he mentions him as one of the deliverers of Israel. 1 Samuel 12:11 says, God sent Jephthah and delivered them. God sent Jephthah. How many of you know God wants to send you? God wants to use you. God wants to work through you. He sent this man that others rejected. It doesn't matter whether you've been rejected by others or not. God will not reject you when you come to Him. Hallelujah. Now in Judges chapter 11, in verse 4, and I'm reading in the NIV. Sometime later, when the Ammonites made war on Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Come, they said, be our commander so we can fight the Ammonites. Jephthah said to them, didn't you hate me and drive me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to him, nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Come with us to fight the Ammonites, and you will be our head over all who live in Gilead. Think about it. Jephthah answered, suppose you take me back to fight the Ammonites and the Lord gives them to me. Will I really be your head? Will you really allow me to lead? Am I going to be the leader you said I can be? The elders of Gilead replied, the Lord is our witness. We will certainly do as you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And he repeated all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Jephthah talked to the Lord about everything he had said, about everything the elders from Gilead had said, and then he went with them. He talked to the Lord first, and then he became their leader. Dear Lord, what a story. And if you read the scripture, Jephthah tried negotiating with the king of Ammon twice to no avail. After trying to negotiate, Judges 11:29 says, and here's the key. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Listen, if you're going to do anything for God, you've got to have the Spirit of the Lord in your life and upon you. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now here he is. Now he's anointed of the Holy Spirit to deliver Israel, deliver his people. Then Jephthah made a vow. Anybody ever made a promise to God? Jephthah made a vow, a promise to God, that if he would help him defeat Ammon, well, we'll come back to the vow in just a minute. He led his army. He defeated the Ammonites in 20 cities. What a great victory. Faith is what it is. 1 Corinthians 13, one of the things that will last forever is what? Faith. Always going to be? Faith. Faith is that which underlies the inheritance which believers expect to receive. If you have faith, you're expecting. Anybody expecting today in the things of God? A prayer answered. Faith is confidence that expects to hear from God by receiving the answer. Faith. Faith is, he said, faith is the confidence and evidence of the unseen. Little by little, day by day, and week by week, we're seeing God begin to do some things in our spirit we knew He was going to do. You know what? We're in the right place at the right time for God to move. Hallelujah. Wherever Jephthah went, God's favor was upon him. Why? He put his trust in the Lord. Wherever he went. When he was a warrior rejected by his own, God's favor was upon him. Might not have been favor with man, but he had favor with God. And because he trusted God, there came a day that he had favor with man. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? When in a foreign land, he was a God-fearing man. Things change when you trust Jesus with your life. Is that true? Things change when you trust Him. Come on, are you with me today? Things change when you... Is anybody here trusting Him today? Things change. Dear Lord, faith is what it is. His faith His faith in God brought God's plan into place. God has a plan and a will for your life and mine, but His plan and will in our individual lives doesn't always happen. Come on. If it did, nobody would go to hell. Then everybody would be serving the Lord. Faith is a confidence and a trust in God that brings God's answers into the situations of our lives. Is there anyone here today that needs God to move on your behalf in some way, your family, your finance, your health, in some way? Come on, raise your hand real high all over this. Some way I need God to move into work. Then, see, you need to pray, you need to have faith, you need to expect, you need to trust until the answer comes. Until He gives you the assurance it's on its way. You know what? Jephthah became a judge. This son of a prostitute judged Israel for 6 years. Can you imagine leading those armies and then becoming a judge? Now, you remember his brothers drove him out of town. Why? You're not going to share in the inheritance our father's going to leave us. Because of who your mother is, you have no part in the inheritance father's going to leave. I believe Jephthah experienced a better inheritance from the Lord than that anything that his brothers and him could have received from his father. Isn't that just like God? He always gives the best. Hallelujah. Now what about his vow to God? If God would help him to defeat the enemies, what about his vow? And I want you to listen closely to his vow. Hallelujah. Listen to his vow. Judges 11:29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from there he advanced against the Ammonites. When Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, here it is. If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me, when I return in triumph from the Ammonites, will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. That's his vow. Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites. The Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Or to the vicinity of Minna, also from Abel, Karamim, thus Israel subdued Ammon. When Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter? Dancing to the sound of tambourines. She was only a child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and he cried in anguish and grief, "Oh, my daughter, you have made me miserable and wretched because I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break." Can you imagine the grief? Evidently, he explained the vow to his daughter. Listen to verse 36. She said, "My father," she replied, "you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised. Now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, do to me what you've promised. But grant me this one request, she said. Give me 2 months to roam the hills and weep with my friends because I will never marry. He said, you may go. He let her go for 2 months. She and the girls went into the hills and they wept because she would never marry. After 2 months, she returned to her father and he did to her as he had vowed, and she was a virgin. From this, the Israelites come to the Israelite custom that each year the young women of Israel go out for 4 days to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite. Now I want you to think about what's happening here. It pays to be careful making a vow or a promise to God. Now 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, for all the promises of God are what? Yea and amen in Christ, yea and amen, unto the glory of God by us. You can count on God's promises. You can count on God's promises. Can't you? Can He count on yours? Can He count on mine? Anyone here ever made a promise to God you didn't keep? Not a hand went up, but probably all of them would. I'm leading somewhere. Jephthah's own words and his daughter's words lead us to believe that they knew the Mosaic law concerning vows. To both of them, a vow to God was considered a sacred promise that could not be broken. His daughter took it seriously. He took it seriously. Did he offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice? I think not. Something that God and His true followers abhor is human sacrifice. God's not in favor of human sacrifice. He never has been and He never will. Can you say amen? Maybe Jephthah thought a servant would be the first one to greet him when he came home victorious. Maybe he had some pet animals around that he took good care of. Maybe he thought one of them he'd run into first. I don't know. But surely he wanted his daughter to grow up and be married and give him grandchildren. That was his only child. But she's the one that came to the door. The Mosaic law in Leviticus 27 gives us some possibilities concerning the fulfillment of this vow. And the Zondervan Bible Pictorial Dictionary says this. There was possibly there's a possibility of a man vowing to give himself or some person of his household to the Lord and make provision for the redemption of such a person in money. We know too from the experiences of Samuel that sometimes persons coming under a vow were handed over for the service of the sanctuary to live and work in the sanctuary or in the temple. It is therefore thought that Jephthah redeemed his daughter with money and gave her up to the service of the Lord as a perpetual virgin. This is the meaning of her request, that she be allowed to bewail her virginity for 2 months. And of the statement made in Judges 11:39, and she knew no man. Because of his vow and her willing to submit to her father and the vow that he made, she'd never be able to marry, she'd never be able to have children, and she'd be in the service of the Lord all the days of her life. Now, it's not a bad thing to be in service of the Lord. But if you've had dreams of having a family and having children and can't, that can be devastating. Are you still with me this morning? The Scripture doesn't really tell us how he fulfilled his vow. All we know is that somehow he did, or his name would have not been mentioned in the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, God knows the past of every one of us that's here. Yet he's already planned for our lives. He knows where you've been. He knows how faithful you've been. He knows what sin you've been in. He knows how you've tried to turn your life around. Or He knows what you're doing now. He knows your past. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. And He's already made a plan for you. Acts 10, real quickly. I'm trying to get to a close. Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation that he feareth, nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Faith is what it is. How's your faith today? How's your faith today? Are you trusting God instead of worrying? Are you believing God for the answer you need instead of trying to make it happen yourself? Are you trusting God with your children, your finance, your health? Are you trusting God with your today, with your future? How's your faith? Our faith must be put in the Lord. He will bring the right answer. Won't He? He will bring the answer, the right answer, the right solution into the situations of our lives. How is your faith today? You and I have to use what we have. Jephthah was a man who broke through no matter what he faced. He kept going. He broke through no matter what. The son of a prostitute who was rejected by family and those leaders in that town ended up being the man God sent as a deliverer. I can't help but think back. If you'll let me think back 25, 30 years ago. I went to my hometown to pastor my home church. Some told me, never go to your hometown to preach your pastor your home church. I wasn't planning. I'd already heard enough of that. I'm not going. But God said, go. Went to our home church. Had about 18 people. Had never reached 100. Get up to around 90-something and back down. God gave us favor. We pastored my home church for about 10 years. We got a vision from God for that city and that place. Before we left there, we were already thinking about building a 500-seat sanctuary. God moved in that place. We knocked out walls. Cars filled the parking lot, the yard, everywhere. Small sanctuary. You get 120 people in there, you were getting packed. We got up to 160 people. The largest the church had ever gotten before or since. I'm telling you that because God knows how to send people where He wants to send them, the place He wants to send them to, and He will use them. He used me. He will use you. I'm telling you that to say God's favor was upon our life. He gave us favor in my own hometown. The church I got saved in, I went back to pastor, and God brought souls in and grew the church. It was a God thing. It wasn't a Leo Bracken thing. And what's happening at First Assembly is a God thing. It's not a Leo Bracken thing. And the thing God wants to do in your life, it's a God thing. Don't you let anybody get you off track. God has some plans for you. Come on, give Him a praise for it this morning. Thank You for it, God. You're not finished with me. He's not finished with you. You may feel like you're on the sidelines and you don't know what to do. Be faithful in what you know. God will take care of the rest. Be faithful in what you ought to be doing and He'll open up some doors for you. Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to be in church. Be faithful to read the Word. Be faithful to witness. Be faithful to live the life that you ought to be living. If you stumble, get up, dust yourself off, say, I'm sorry, God, and keep on going with God. He has plans for your life. A better plan than you could ever dream of. How about you? Just imagine what God can do for you. Jephthah, look at this man. He might come from a poor family. Could it be that you are another person who can become known as the breaker through? Jephthah's name meant the breaker through. Always breaking through. Will you stand with me? If you've made promises to God and have not followed through with those promises, don't you think it's time to get back on track? Amen. Isn't it time to get back on track? Isn't it time to fulfill your vow? Brother Bracken, is that real important? Sure it is. There's something you may have promised years ago that you can't do now, but there's promises we've made that we need to get back on track with. Lord, I'll serve You if You'll heal me. You're standing here well today. How well have you served him? Leo, are you thinking about that? I know where he brought me from. And so do you in my health. God's done miracles for me and in me, hasn't he? When too many months ago, it's all I could do to stand there and worship, to be able to preach once a week. I know where God's brought me from in my health. I know where he's brought me from as a child to this day. Isn't it time for breakthrough in your life? Isn't it? Don't you want God to just break in on your family? Isn't it time for breakthrough in your life, in your finances, in your health? Just imagine what God will do for you. Today, things change. I think of the heroes of faith, some of the things they believed for, and they saw come to pass in their time. Some of the things they believed for and fought for, they never saw come to pass in their lifetime. But they knew what they believed and fought for would happen. My mama dreamed of the day she'd see my daddy, a Christian, and serving the Lord. But mama went to be with the Lord before that ever happened. But my dad, about 3 months before he passed away, accepted Jesus as his Savior, became a brand new person. Mama didn't get to see it here. Can you imagine how she felt after walking the floors and praying for Daddy day after day and for family to see him walk in the gates? Hallelujah. You know, God knows how to work in his time. He knows how to work in your life and mine. He knows how to work through people who others say will never amount to anything. He's too quiet, too shy. He'll never do anything for God. He's too loud. He's too vulgar. God will never use him. God will never use her. Oh, he's too wicked to be saved. Oh, Brother Bracken, if you only knew what that man does. Ah, they're too sinful. Too sinful for God. They've been too sinful. He's been too sinful. God's not going to use him. Not so. Remember what Dwayne Modlin used to always say? The devil is a liar. And he is. Will God work in my life, Pastor Bracken? Will God forgive me of my sin? Will God forgive me of my evil? Will he forgive me for leaving him out of my life? And the answer is yes. Too sinful? No. Never too sinful. That's who he died for. Will you pray with me? Father, we're grateful for great mercy today. Your mercy that's been shown to all of us. You constantly set the example in how to forgive. Each one of us, Lord, has to come to the Father the same way. We come to Father God through Jesus the Son, because Jesus, you're the only way. Lord, whether we've been raised in a family of love and care and in church all of our life, we still have to come the same way. If we come out of a drug and alcohol controlled atmosphere and family, we still have to come the same way. Lord, if we've made promises today, I want to thank you for dealing with our hearts. So just come and say, God, I'm sorry I let you down. I've not kept my promise to you. Please forgive me. Lord, change my life, that I can walk in the ways you've called me to walk. And so I can do what you've asked me to do. And so I can do what I've told you I will do. Father, thank you today for moving, speaking, and working. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.